From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. 2 days after BP began its so-called Top Hat operation in the Gulf of Mexico to stop the worst oil spill in U.S. history, company officials are saying everything is going as planned, but did not elaborate. Company executives say they won't know until later today or tomorrow whether stuffing heavy mud and debris into the broken offshore well is working. A government research ship is preparing to use its sonar equipment to help track the spill. Eileen Fleming of member station WWNO reports it's a novel use for the technology.
Captain Shepard Smith says the research ship Thomas Jefferson normally maps wetlands and shallow waters for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's now in New Orleans, preparing to head out next week and look for deep sea oil.
We're really adapting sensors that are designed for other oceanographic purposes to this very particular task. And we don't know exactly how it's going to work out yet.
He says the equipment usually finds schools of fish and other marine life. Smith says he's hoping the readings for oil will look much the same. He says the vessel will try to track the outer edges of the oil plume, and it will not sail through or over the slick. For NPR News, I'm Eileen Fleming in New Orleans.
China, Japan, and South Korea are holding a three-way summit meeting with talks expected to focus on the regional tension following the sinking of a South Korean warship in March. The BBC's John Sudworth says the North flatly denies the charges.
On arriving in Seoul, the Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama first went to pay his respects at the graves of the 46 sailors who were killed when their warship exploded and sank 2 months ago. The Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao has already held bilateral discussions with the South Korean President Lee Myung-bak. The three men will hold 2 days of talks on the South Korean resort island of Jeju. President Lee will continue to press his case for North Korea to be censured or punished at the United Nations Security Council.
The BBC's John Sudworth. The FBI has executed search warrants at locations in Boston, New York, and New Jersey in connection with a failed car bombing and attempt in New York City's Times Square. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.
A U.S. immigration judge in Boston has decided that Aftab Khan has to leave the country. Khan was one of three men arrested on immigration charges on May 13th and was suspected of having supplied money to the main suspect in the case, Faisal Shahzad. He provided the money through an informal money transfer network, and authorities have said that Khan may not have known what the money was for. But he lied to them when they asked him whether he knew the Times Square suspect. Khan has 30 days to appeal the judge's decision. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.
The Israeli military says it's fired missiles at a metal workshop and a militants' tunnel in Gaza. Hamas security officials say that 9 missiles were fired. No one was injured. Military officials say Hamas fighters were building a tunnel with the hope of smuggling militants from Gaza into Israel. This is NPR. The Prime Minister of Thailand has lifted a nighttime curfew in Bangkok and other areas after street violence left more than 80 people dead. The curfew had been in effect for the capital in 23 provinces following clashes between police and so-called red shirt protesters who barricaded themselves in an upscale shopping district in the heart of Bangkok for weeks. That ended earlier this month in a military crackdown. A federal judge in California has given the Toyota Motor Company 30 days to turn over most of its documents to lawyers representing drivers who claim their vehicles suddenly accelerated out of control. Bob Hensley of Capital Public Radio has more.
The order marks Toyota's first setback since dozens of personal injury and class action consumer claims against the automaker were consolidated in the federal court system last month. Plaintiff's attorneys are seeking possession of 125,000 pages of Toyota internal documents that have been submitted to congressional panels and auto safety regulators. The Japanese automaker faces potential civil liability, estimated at more than $10 billion. The highly publicized incidents of unintended acceleration have sullied the company's once pristine image. Toyota cites ill-fitting floor mats and sticking gas pedals as the reasons for vehicles accelerating out of control. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
A woman in Louisiana has pleaded guilty to a fraud charge stemming from money she received from the Hurricane Katrina disaster. Sharon DiCarlo Baker admitted she stole $30,000 from the Road Home program. Baker filed an application saying she lived in New Orleans when the storm hit. She actually was living in Dallas at the time. Baker faces up to 10 years in prison. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.